Columbia Workshop presents A Letter from Home, an original play for radio by Charles R. Jackson.
Is Dorian not home yet?
No, sir. She just phoned that she'd be home at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock? Oh, that'll be any minute now.
And Mrs. Sawyer is bringing a guest, sir.
Who?
She didn't say, sir.
All right, bring me a drink. Will you hop with him?
Right away, sir.
It seems I'm always the first one home, doesn't it, Harper?
I beg your pardon, sir.
Never mind. I'll bring the decanter.
Yes.
Young, intelligent, talented, charming. I picture you in New York, a gay and glamorous life. Oh, Claire will love that. Talented and charming. No, my dear Bettina, decidedly no.
Did you say something, sir?
Only to myself, Harper. I'm just talking to myself.
You whistle.
Thank you.
And I believe that Mrs. Sawyer is just coming in, sir.
Oh, Claire, I'm in here.
Oh, darling, you beat me home.
But until my hallway.
Oh, look, I brought Felix.
Oh, it's Felix. Hello, Felix.
Hello, Freddy. How are you, boy?
Well, I'm fine, Felix, but I'm upset.
Hmm?
That is, I'm excited, shaken, shall we say, by remembrance of things past.
Frederick, what are you prattling about?
Well, you just sit down, Felix, and be quiet. I'm glad to see you and all that, but I don't want anything to interfere with what I've got to tell Claire.
Now, look here, old chap, if you two would rather be alone...
Frederick, you know perfectly well that Felix is practically one of the family.
Yes, practically.
Don't mind him, Felix.
I won't, my dear. I only hope he doesn't mind me.
Well, what's the big item, Frederick?
Claire, I had a letter from home today.
Oh, is that all? Felix, get Harper to make us some drinks, will you? There's no reason why my husband should monopolize this situation, even if he did get a letter from home.
Right.
But you don't understand, Claire. This was a letter from Bettina. And to put it mildly, it gave me pause.
Who's Bettina?
Claire, who is Bettina? You...
Yes, I know, darling, but which one is she? Well, you always expect me to remember them by name, and all I can remember is that one of them's the girl who made fun of your poems, and another is the one who...
Bettina, Claire. Bettina.
Felix, hurry up! Oh, excuse me, darling.
Listen, Claire, I'm going on with this, whether you like it or not.
Oh.
This letter, well, it gave me something of a shock, and then it was good for me, too. I want you to hear about it, and if you're amused by it, I'll kill you.
Bettina. Oh, I know. She's the girl you didn't marry.
Claire, you have a genius for making inept remarks that call forth nothing but my profound...
Oh, but isn't that Bettina? Wasn't she the one?
In a manner of speaking, yes.
And you're always saying I have such a poor memory. That you couldn't remember which one was which of my old beaus.
Well, you never told me of them.
Uh-huh. That's where I'm cleverer than you are, darling.
Here's a drink. I've brought them in myself.
Good. Oh, Felix, sit here beside me.
Right.
Frederick got a letter today from the girl he didn't marry, and he wants to read it to us.
I don't intend doing anything of the kind.
Well, what was the occasion of the letter, darling?
The occasion of the letter was that lousy movie of mine.
Which lousy movie?
Well, I said they were lousy, didn't I? This particular movie was the one I wrote for Carol Thorne and Richard Watson. You remember the prison movie with the...
Yes, with the big flood scene and all the convicts.
Yeah, well, anyway, it came to the movie house back home, and Bettina saw it and wrote me about it.
She liked
it? Sad to say, yes.
Oh, why should that bother you? Everybody liked it.
She said a lot of other things in the letter, too.
Well, then read it to us and stop being so dramatic.
At this point, may I be so bold as to inquire who is this person? I'm afraid I don't follow.
I told you, Felix. Bettina's the girl Frederick didn't...
Shut up, Claire. Felix, it's a long story, and a familiar one, I suppose. There was a girl in our town.
And she was wondrous wise.
You're darn right. She was wise enough not to marry me.
Oh, no, I'm not so sure it was her fault.
You don't know anything about it. You haven't the faintest comprehension of even this kind of a
person. Can't we get back to the story or movie or whatever, you know, for heaven's sake?
Yes, Felix. Now, this Bettina, she's a girl that I grew up with practically back home. We've known each other ever since we were little kids. And like kids, we just naturally always expected to marry each other. I suppose every man has some such girl in his background that he, well, as Claire puts it in her female way, that he didn't marry. Mine was Bettina.
Yes, I know. I had one, too. Very much the same.
Why, Felix, you've been holding out on me.
Bettina was a marvelous girl, really. Like, I can honestly say that she had more influence on my life than any other person I've ever met.
Yes, we know. Whatever you are today, you owe to Bettina.
Yes. No, I don't mean that. But she saw, even as a kid, the possibilities that I had.
Now look at you.
That is just what I'm driving at. That's the whole point.
Why didn't you marry her, Freddie?
Ooh. Well, I really can't say now. You know how you don't.
Yes. What my darling husband is trying to say, Felix, is that men never marry the ones they should. They marry the ones they shouldn't. Like me.
What I'm probably trying to say is that men, that is young men, never realize the value of what they've got till after they've lost it.
What happened, Freddie?
Well, Bettina was always trying to get me to leave home and go to New York, and I... Well, I had ambitions of the sort, but they were mostly ideas, something to talk about. Well, her father owned a local paper, a country weekly, and the night I graduated from high school, he gave me a job. And Bettina was furious. I'll never forget that night. I'll hear that voice of hers as long as I live. The courage, the spirit, the love in it. I think it's the only voice I ever did really listen. Or when my baby smiles at
Fred,
me.
Fred, Soria, everyone who has your brain should be as blind as its possibilities. This world would be a pretty small place. Why, even the principal at commencement said you were a very talented young man.
Yeah, now wasn't that nice? I mean... My gosh, I'm out of school and got to get a job, haven't I? And this is certainly as good as any.
As good as any is right. Before I'd accept a job that was as good as any,
Only for a few months. Gonna leave in the fall. That'll be time enough.
I suppose that'll be time enough if you will go then. But, oh, Fred, I know you so darn well.
Oh, you're a big help, you are.
I'd be a big help if you'd only let me. But no, you push me aside and listen to your mother and my father and everybody else who goes around patting you on the back, promising big things for you in the old hometown. Like Dad.
Look at Horace Greeley. He started on a country weekly. Look at Warren Harding.
Well, don't look, Fred, and you'll be much better off.
Oh, Bettina, you're making a lot out of nothing. I certainly can't see what earthly harm there is in staying home just for the summer. I can go in the fall.
The harm is that once you get settled, you're lost.
I won't be lost. You don't think the Arcadia Courier will satisfy me, do you? What teens you know better?
It's darned easy to be satisfied here in Arcadia. I know that. You get thinking like the other people and doing the things they do and taking your place in local affairs, and then all of a sudden you realize, well, after all, you're happy. Why not? And when that comes, there's no more hope for you.
Yeah, but if we're happy together...
It wouldn't be. You wouldn't like me long if we stayed here. I'd turn into one of those small-town matrons, playing bridge every other afternoon, joining the Tuesday Club and the Shakespeare Club. Fred, is there any person in this whole town who means a darn thing to you? Who contributes anything to you? Gives you anything? Is there, Fred?
Yeah.
Who, for Pete's sake?
You, for Pete's sake.
No, stop. I'm serious.
No, I'm serious, too, Teen. I've never been more serious than I am at this moment. Never.
Well, I hope so, Fred.
No, I sometimes forget what a big thrill you can give me. And I mustn't forget that. Somehow, just talking with you makes me feel that I could accomplish all my wildest dreams. You know, I guess that's your secret, Bettina. That you make me not only believe in you, but in myself as well. Why, an hour ago, I was glad to have that job, and now I don't feel any more like it than I feel like going to the moon.
I feel like going to the moon.
Oh, yeah, I do, too, if you'd come with me.
I'll go with you anywhere, but I want you to do it first for yourself, not for me. It would mean more. Then I'd join you after you got established, and maybe I'd do something, too.
I will go. Think of it, Teen. Living in New York. Wouldn't it be a second?
Oh, isn't it thrilling?
Think of being able to say, I don't know what I'll be doing a week from now. Even 24 hours from now.
God.
Here at home, we always know just exactly what we're going to do and just exactly what'll be happening. Next fall, you won't. Your next minute will be as uncertain as your next year.
Or the next meal, maybe.
I wouldn't care. I'd just as soon wonder where my dinner was coming from for a change. You appreciate the food more.
Well, sure, and there are more surprises. But seriously, though, isn't life interesting, really? It's so full and exciting and stimulating.
Isn't it? I can't understand these people who go around complaining about the emptiness of existence. It's either a pose or else life is too full for them.
That's it. They aren't up to it. They aren't big enough for it. Or maybe they just haven't got imagination enough to see it. Multicolored views.
And a thousand possibilities. Think of all the things there are to do in this world. Just think of them, Fred. Why, life isn't half long enough.
Oh, there is something to live for, isn't there? It can't be all just existing. And, Tina, we will live. We won't be like these people around us. We'll go away to New York in the fall and have our lives together. I don't care what happens, if we're poor or in trouble or anything. It'll at least be interesting, won't it, Tina? Fully though, the Arcadia Courier. We can't be bothered, can we? We got something more important to do. Oh, Tina, what's the matter? Oh, Tina, tell me, what's the trouble?
Nothing. Don't bother.
Oh, why are you crying, Tina?
No, Fred. It's just you, I guess. That's all.
She was prophetic.
Very prophetic.
I said prophetic. You mean her crying like that at that moment?
You're darn right. Unconsciously, deep down, she knew what was going to happen. How was going to turn out. Can't fool women. Believe me, they know.
We do indeed. We also know that the surest way to lose a man is to efface yourself completely and think only of him and his future.
But Tina doesn't seem to have known that.
I bet she knows it now.
It seems to me that you're being unnecessarily callous and female about the whole thing.
I'm not. I'm being practical.
And female.
Oh, why did Felix and husband always use the word female accusingly? Lord knows they wouldn't like us if we weren't female.
That's sort of tragic, isn't it? How we start out when we're young, so sure, so certain that the world is going to offer us so much. No, I hadn't a doubt, not the faintest doubt that I was going to be the great man in modern literature.
I had a talent for painting when I was a lad.
I knew it,
Freddie, that I was going to be the second Leonardo. Yes, outstripping the first.
No.
I'm a fashionable photographer.
There, you see? Yeah. And I, who was on my way to eclipse Tolstoy and Shakespeare, now I write movies at 40,000 a throw.
So would Shakespeare if he were living now. It's the age that molds us, not we the age. And let's be thankful that it does, too. Knocks a lot of silly notions out of our heads. For instance, I wanted to be a dancer. Now, thank heavens, I've got a good job as fashion editor.
I suppose Claire's right. After all, the talent we show in our youth isn't really to be depended on. Youth is always talented. The urge towards self-expression is part of its very nature. Like a change of voice or a rash of pimples. And like the pimples, it goes away.
Yeah, thank heaven.
And yet, Bettina, back home, thinks I'm still like that. Talented and fine in my talent. She doesn't realize the compromise I've made.
What makes you think so?
Well, the race writes in her letter. She calls us young, intelligent, talented, charming.
Oh, well, maybe she just likes the sound of it.
I wish I could think so. But she expresses herself so forcefully. She does write well, Felix.
So?
Yeah, when she first considered marrying that lawyer back home, she wrote, "He is a rock which protects me now, but on which I may founder later on."
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember that. You used it in one of your first books.
Well?
Well?
Tell me about the lawyer.
Well, I don't know much about him, except that they were married about 3 years after I left home.
Well, anyhow, Bettina did chase you to New York.
Mm-hmm. And I owe her something for that.
No, it took her another year to do it. And at the last minute, I almost stayed on. But
you think you're important to that miserable little paper? I'm surprised at you.
Well, I belong here. I mean, I couldn't ask for a job more ideally suited to me, now could I?
Did my father tell you that?
Well, he did say that he wished he'd had an opportunity like I got when he was my age.
That's because he hasn't imagination enough to see beyond his nose.
Why, I'm local editor of the Arcadia Courier, and I'm only 18.
Only 18? Well, you've got to be one of those only persons. Only, that word. There's the death knell for all bright promises.
Go on, be literary.
I'm not being literary. I'm being hurt. And it's because I love you. Oh, let's not quarrel like this on that last night, Fred. Do you think I'd care what you did if I didn't love you? You can't just be promising. And if you reach the top or as far as you can go here, then you've got to go on someplace else where the field is larger, haven't you? This idea of fathers about being a big fish in a little pond is all nonsense. Fish don't grow big in a little pond.
But, Tina, you're such a prop.
You mean a crutch, don't you?
Well, I won't even have a crutch anymore now that I'm gone. Nobody to talk to share ideas with, to understand.
Good. Then you'll seek out those people who speak our own language. Oh, Fred, you can't have forgotten, can you? All our promises can't have meant as little as that. I love you, Fred, and someday I want you. But not here.
All right, Tina. Of course I'll go. It's just that it's so tough to leave you. I couldn't lose you, Tina. I'll hate it without you. You know, my going away is probably the best thing that could happen to us, because, oh, well, then we'll realize so much more clearly how we need each other.
You mean that, Fred?
Of course I do, Tina.
Last night, while you were down at the office packing things up, I wandered around outdoors in the rain for over an hour, trying to... No, I don't know what I was trying to do. Feel glad that you're going, I guess. But right now, I can't feel glad about it. Please, don't ever forget me and write me every day.
Sure. And if we do that, then we can't grow entirely apart, even though circumstances may be against us.
I'm so terribly afraid of that old saying, out of sight, out of mind.
Oh, you needn't be.
It's so darned easy when you're young to adapt yourself to new circumstances and people. Of course, I'm thinking of myself now, and I promised myself I wouldn't do that. Oh, Fred, if we love each other enough, we'll find some way to do away with this awful separation. And if we don't love each other enough, then... separation's the best thing for us.
But, Tina...
Whatever happens, Fred, I'll always love you. If only I weren't so darn fatalistic.
Now, Tina, you mustn't be so downhearted. Well, you can't mean that. You know I love you, don't you? Well, you know I do, don't you, Tina?
Let's believe in each other as long as we can. We couldn't love it, though, if we didn't have faith in each other. Fred, I honestly and wholeheartedly believe that you're going to be something rather wonderful, even though I'm not sure of my place in the picture.
Why, the tail?
It's true. I wish I didn't feel that way, but I can't help it.
Why, Bettina? That's all I could say. Why, Bettina? As if I'd just been paid an elaborate compliment. In retrospect, I hear the whole speech now, just as I tell it to you, but at that time, I only heard the first half of it. I honestly believe that you're going to be something rather wonderful. God help me, but I probably said flatterer.
You know, if we all knew ourselves as well as you do, Frederick, this would be a very uncomfortable world.
Exactly. That is why I find living so difficult. Because I know myself.
Well, yes, I give you credit for that. But I know you, too, and then that makes for a conflict.
Look here, you two. Family quarrels always go right over my head. On purpose. Well,
Claire, I don't know why you refuse to take it seriously. I was honestly upset by that letter. It made me think. And it made me a little sick, too. Sick of our whole way of life.
Oh, well, then perhaps you hadn't better read it.
No, I want to. We should know these things.
You see, Felix.
Yeah, amused again, aren't you? But
no,
listen,
no.
Listen to this, then.
Oh,
it's sad. It's fresh. What a wonderful moment when I saw your name on the screen at the beginning of the movie, Fred. It always brings me face to face with my real self. For a moment, I became an individual again instead of one unimportant unit of the all-important race.
She writes well.
Felix, do you hear that? I read something moving and personal like that. And all Claire says is, she writes well.
Well, I'm really repeating you, Frederick. That's what you said yourself.
Well, listen to the sentence of it, can't you?
All right. Go on.
I do wish you and Claire all the happiness possible for any two humans. Someday I hope to meet and know her. But in the meantime, I don't feel she's entirely a stranger. I picture the two of you as leading a very gay and glamorous life. Both young, intelligent, talented, charming. What more could any human being ask for? I know you are as happy in your marriage as I have always hoped you would be. After nearly a baker's dozen years, I still think marriage is a great institution, if you pick the right person. And from all reports you did, at the very least, you find a deeply satisfying companionship. And at the most, well, what you find at the most is too intangible to put into words without sounding a little sticky. It's so much easier to be ribald about marriage than it is to eulogize.
It's lovely, Frederick. It isn't true, but it's lovely, just the same.
It positively hurts.
What hurts?
That young and talented, intelligent, talented stuff.
Oh.
You know, Bettina couldn't have chosen deadlier language.
Well, what's the matter with it?
Well, just look at me and you'll see. Young, 35. Intelligent, perhaps. Talented, no. Charming,
oh,
no.
Oh, Frederick, you're worse than one of your lousy movies.
Oh. So you can't face facts, is that it?
Somebody was saying to me only the other day, scratch an author and find an actor. I know now what you meant.
Well, it's the truth. Might as well be realistic about it.
All right, let's be realistic about it. Things didn't turn out the way you planned in your youth. It's all tragic, and you love it. Oh, gives you something to write about.
It does, indeed. And I'm going to write it, too.
I don't doubt it. And you'll probably do a very good job.
Oh, no. Not the kind that you're thinking. This isn't going to be a story. Nothing so false and cheap as that.
You mean you're actually going to forget your public for a change?
I mean I'm going to answer that her Bettina right now.
That's a very good idea. I wish you were always so prompt in answering your letters.
For once, I'm going to write Bettina the truth. A gay and glamorous life, indeed.
You mean you're going to write her that you're a little on the senile side, but still pretty spry?
I'm going to tell her just how wonderful it is being a writer. Not being man enough to write the books I have in me, that Bettina knew I had in me from the start. I'm a success and a failure. And who cares? Only Bettina, who honestly believed I was going to be something rather wonderful.
You'll catch Cole standing in that open door.
And furthermore, I'm going to tell her that I'm married to a woman I hate, but can't get along without.
Why, Frederick, that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Claire. Aren't you a little hard on him?
Listen, Felix, don't you start. I know my way around this neck of the woods all right. This peculiar, over-brilliant landscape that is laughingly called the artist world. Now, if I were awestruck by his talent and treated him as if he were a genius, he'd be bored to death. I take him for what he is, a writer. But he's neither fish nor fowl. And we get along splendidly.
I guess you and I don't see eye to eye on splendor, then.
Why, the splendor of egotism is the grandest sight in the world. Nothing is so fascinating as the spectacle of your own brilliance. That's why Frederick goes around looking like Hamlet and acting like a failure.
But Claire, I think he was sincerely affected by Bettina's letter.
Of course he was, genuinely. And then his imagination gets to working on it and recreates the real situation into something entirely different. It's a wonderful armor, that imagination. He never gets hurt.
But the letter, will he really answer it in the way he said he would?
Oh, Felix, my husband isn't too predictable. That's why it's fun living with him. Now, if he writes it tonight, he'll send it. If he waits till tomorrow, he won't. Well, in any case, you can be perfectly sure the letter will turn up in his next novel, large as life and twice as dramatic.
I wonder about Bettina, though. Aren't you sorry for her, then?
No, not really. She doesn't know how lucky she is.
Hmm?
I'm the one, Felix. I'm the one who'll never be able to get him out of my system. And considering the long winter evenings, heaven help me if I do.
Dinner is served, Mrs. Storey.
Oh, good. Call Mr. Storey, will you, Harper? He's in his study. In his brown study.
Yes,
ma'am. He may take your head off, but call him anyway.
Yes, who's there?
Dinner is served, sir.
All right, Arthur. Well, that's all you need. I want to get back to work as soon as I can because I've got an idea for a whale of a story. The title came to me out of the blue. A Letter from Home.
Well, that's splendid, Frederick. But you mustn't eat too fast, darling.
Why?
Well, I wouldn't want you to choke or anything.
Oh, no, no. Hmm. Well, are we going to eat, or aren't we?
We are going to eat.
Columbia Workshops production of A Letter from Home, an original play for radio by Charles R. Jackson. The part of Fred was played by Carl Swenson, Bettina by Ruth Ford, Claire by Selena Royal, Felix by Burton Hampton, and Harper by Dan Davies. The production was under the direction of Nyla Mack. Next Monday night at the same time, the Columbia Workshop will present another original play for radio entitled Pepito Inherits the Earth by William Merrick. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.